I want to speak to you about how you talk. I want to teach you how to talk, because some of you don't know how to talk yet. The title of this message is Activating Your Glory Talk. Activating Your Glory Talk. You know, there's slanderous talk, there's negative talk, there's gossip talk, there's worry talk, there's frustration talk, there's anger talk. There's all kinds of talk that can come out of you, but you need some glory talk, because glory talk will change the world. If you learn to speak properly, you can change your lifestyle. You can change your atmosphere in your home. You can change your future by learning to talk properly. This is very hard for people who are quiet people, because God, you know, has made us all differently, and some people are more quiet than they should be, because they're shy, because they grew up in a home perhaps where everybody was kind of quiet. If your mom and dad didn't talk much, you might not be a talker. On the other hand, you might be a real chatty person. But if you are a person who is withdrawn and doesn't talk much, you have a disadvantage. And there's something you need to break out of and start to speak glory talk. You need to change what you do. It's not just about not speaking bad talk. It's also about learning to speak good talk, because it opens the doors. So we're going to do an expository kind of sermon today, looking through the entire chapter of the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 19. To start off with, I'm just going to read the very last verse. But by the time we're finished, we will have incorporated the whole of chapter 19 into this message. So I want you to keep your Bibles open and follow with me. But to start off with, Psalm chapter 19, verse 14 says, "May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." Jesus is your rock and your redeemer. He will bring stability into your life and strength into your life when everything else in the world is shaking and falling apart. He is your rock, and he is also your redeemer. For when you fail to make him your rock, and when you fail to stand on the rock, when you slip off the rock and find yourself in peril, the Lord is the one who is your redeemer. He's the one who comes after you to save you and to pull you out of the pit and to put you back on that rock. Amen. And the key to finding the blessings of heaven, the rock and the redeemer, is to ask the Lord to help you with your meditation, with the thoughts that are within you and the words that come out of your mouth. Because they, if they are acceptable unto the Lord, you will find something almost magical happening, something more than magical, something supernatural happening. You will find yourself suddenly standing firm upon the rock with the Redeemer filling you with all of his blessings, if you learn to think right and to speak right. So let's pray. Lord, we open our hearts to you now, and we receive the word of the Lord. We receive instruction because we are your people. And Lord, we need to know how to go forward from here. We need your strength in our lives. Oh God, every one of us needs to change. We need to have the meditations of our hearts made pure. And we need to have the activities of our lives made straight, and the words of our mouths to be acceptable unto you. Teach us about glory talk. I ask it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Words and meditations, the way you think and what you speak, become the foundation and the release of your future. as a man thinks, so he is. Jesus said it's not what goes into your mouth that can hurt you, although nutritionists will tell you it can. But Jesus is looking deeper. He is looking not just at your physical, but he's looking at your whole man. And he makes this amazing statement. He says it's not what goes into the man that will defile him, but it's what comes out of the man. It's what the words are that come out of your mouth that determine your future. And so our thoughts and our words need to be acceptable unto God. If they're acceptable unto God, you're on the right track. And you're in a place where God's going to bless you. You see, whatever you say determines whether today you will host demons or angels. How you speak and the way you think will determine which group are going to be around you. If you gossip and speak fear and worry and darkness, if you speak frustration and anger, if you speak slander, if you speak evil words, angels will back up. They will say, I don't like that. I don't want to be a part of that. And they will withdraw from you. But when you speak in evil ways, demons will come in. There's an opportunity here, men. There's an opportunity here to come and do some real trouble, because this person is already speaking darkness. They're already speaking negativity. Their words are already full of evil. So let's come and make their words come to pass. So I ask you today, who do you want in your home? Demons or angels? Who do you want in your car? Demons or angels? Who do you want in your life? Demons or angels? It's up to you. The meditation of your mind and the words of your mouth will determine the group in the spirit that will come and gather around you. I remember my late grandmother, Lydia Prince, Grandpa Derek's first wife. She was a missionary in 1930, in Israel. And she went there as a single woman from Denmark. She had a real, real strong Danish accent. And she went there to be a missionary because she had been filled with the Holy Spirit. And, she used to be a Lutheran. God's frozen chosen. And she used to smoke cigars. And she was the very first home economics teacher in the nation. She was a pioneer breaking new ground in the education system. And then she got miraculously saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. And almost immediately she had a love for Israel and the Jewish people. And she felt the Lord speak to her and say, go to Israel and minister to the people there. She wasn't sent by an ordaining body. The churches that she was part of did not ordain women. And they wouldn't have sent a single woman off to the mission field. But she was very courageous. And she went without any guaranteed support into the land of Palestine. It was not yet called Israel. And there she started to preach to both Arabs and Jews about the Lord Jesus Christ. And they didn't want anything to do with her because she was from another nation. And she spoke with a funny dialect. And she was a woman. And she was a Christian. Jews and Muslims were not interested in this woman. And she wrestled with God. Why did you bring me here? In the town of Ramallah, she had just a little one-room concrete house that was attached to others. Out in front was a courtyard with many houses around it. and there was a water pump. Out the back door, there was an outhouse. She had a dresser, a chair, and a bed on a concrete floor with concrete walls and a concrete ceiling. And she cried out to God, and nobody would pay any attention to her. And then one day, somebody came to the door, and they came inside, a husband and wife with a little baby. The baby's name was Tikva, which means the hope. And they said the government is going to take, at that time it was a British colony. And the British government was going to take this child away from these parents because they were not able to properly keep this child. I don't know if they had drug problems or whatever. They did not want their little Tikva to go to an institution. And they had met Lydia and heard about her, and they took Tikva, just a tiny little baby, and said, "Will you look after her for me?" Lydia opened up her suitcase that became the baby's bed and used her own lingerie or whatever as blankets for the child. My mother was the fifth baby to come along. When she was 5 days old, in the pouring rain, a rabbi came and knocked on the door. And when Lydia came, he threw my mama, 5 days old, little Jewish Magdalene Katz, into the arms of Lydia. Lydia already had four children in that one little room. Now she had five. And my mom was that fifth baby. Lydia was so strong. If you met her and shook her hand, almost immediately the fear of God would come on you. She could see right through you. Don't ever try to pull the wool over her eyes. It would evaporate. And she would ask you the most bold questions, right to the point. And I remember the time when we had family gatherings at Grandpa Derek and Grandma Lydia's home. And if any of the grandchildren said any kind of negative word, like, "I'll never be able to do that. It's hopeless. I don't know how to do that." Any kind of negative word, Lydia would be right in there like a boot camp sergeant. Say, "Don't you ever say anything bad about yourself. You don't want to curse yourself. There's power in your words. Only speak good things. And put your trust in Jesus. And let him make you what you are not yet. But don't let an evil word come out of your mouth. Because in the power of the tongue is life and death." The scripture says life and death is in the power of the tongue. So I had a spiritual whip-cracking grandma who helped me. And very, very seldom, I can't tell you when, has a negative word come out of my mouth. And I ask you today, what kind of words are coming out of your mouth? Because they determine your future. They welcome angels or they welcome demons. I remember the story of my grandfather Derek Prince and his first major miracle that happened to his own life. He was a young man in his 20s fighting as a soldier in the Second World War. He was stationed under Montgomery in North Africa fighting against Rommel. And while he was in that place, he contracted some kind of eczema. You might say eczema, depends on what part of the world you come from. But it was a kind of rash that came on his body that was so bad that all of his skin split open and it would be oozing with fluids. And it covered his entire body. He was in such pain, and there was nothing that they could do about it, that they put him in the hospital. Grandpa Derek was in hospital for some 6 months with this horrible disease, the skin disease that covered his whole body. He had just become a Christian. He was just a young Christian. And he decided to read through the Bible and find out every verse in the Bible that had to do with healing or health. So he took a blue pen and he started in Genesis. And everywhere there was a mention of anything that had to do with health or healing from God, he underlined it. And he said, by the time I have read through my Bible, I had a blue Bible. Because everywhere, I didn't realize it, but everywhere was the word of God's power to heal and to bring health and blessing to you. And he said, somewhere during that time, he started to hear from God about his condition. And the Lord said to him, the doctor gives you a prescription that isn't helping. And you're taking it morning, noon, and night. So I have a scripture for you. For the word of God is health to your bones and health to all of your flesh. So let the word of God come from your mouth. And he started to hunt through the blue pages and that which he had underlined, and he found the most powerful verses about the miracles of God's health and healing. And he wrote down several of them on a piece of paper. And then 3 times a day, he took it religiously like a medicine. In the morning, he spoke it out aloud. The Lord is my healer. The Lord is my health. A merry heart doeth good like medicine. And he started to speak forth, and he did that in the morning like taking a medicine. And he did it at lunchtime like taking a medicine. And he did it in the evening like taking a medicine. He did it regularly, proclaiming the word of the Lord over his life. And within a very short space of time, the healing process started to function all over his body until all of the skin disease was completely gone. They said he would never be free from this. But at the end of this time with God and speaking forth the word of the Lord, he had a complete healing without any other person coming to him, laying hands on him and praying over him. I want you to know that this Bible and the word of the Lord, the word that God gives you, is so powerful. Sometimes it's instantaneous, but sometimes you just have to take it 3 times a day like a good medicine. You need to speak the word of the Lord over your life and over your situation. Please don't speak things into the air that are not the will of God. It's not that you come up with a fanciful idea and start naming and claiming it. But you need to hear from God. Find out what is the will of God and then start to speak it. Connect it with the word of God and watch how the Lord will change your circumstance and your situation. The Bible says, without faith, it's impossible for you to please God. And those who come to God must believe 2 things about faith. They must believe that he is, that he exists. And secondly, they must believe that he will reward those who diligently seek him. Forget for a minute about God's blessing on my life or on Pastor Chuck's life or anybody else's life. And just think of yourself for a minute. Do you believe that if you seek God, God will bless you? If you seek God, will his favor come upon your life? Without that faith, it's impossible for you to please God. It's not about what God does to other people. It's what he'll do for you. That's what's important. And the words of your mouth and the meditation of your heart will determine your future. Now we're going to go through this chapter together in Psalm 19. It breaks up into three parts. The first six verses are about the heavens. And then from verse 7 down to verse 11, it's about the word of God and the precepts of the Lord. And then from verse 12 to 14, it's about us. So we're going from space to the scroll to our soul. So first of all, this message that King David wrote when he was just a shepherd boy, this is him preaching. This is him getting all fired up. He has a revelation from God and he's preaching it. And he says, the heavens declare. The heavens speak. The heavens declare the glory of God. We sing that, don't we? The skies speak. They proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, the heavens and the skies pour forth speech. Speech about the glory of God. And night after night, they display knowledge of who God is. They're speaking to us. There's no speech or language where the voice of the heavens and the voice of the skies is not heard. It's heard in the Amazon jungle. It's heard in Moscow. It's heard in China. There's no place where the voice of the heavens and the skies is not speaking to people. Their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words go to the end of the world. See, the heavens and the sky, in fact, all of creation has learned how to speak. But many of us have not yet learned how to speak. They declare the glory of God. The heavens declare the glory of God. They say, look at me. I can remember, you know, we used to go every year up into the wilderness in northern Canada when we lived there. We would go straight north for 5 hours, leaving civilization as it was. And we would go to a national park, which was 3,000 square miles. You were not allowed to take a gun there, even though the bears were there and the moose were there and all kinds of other creatures were there. And we would get in canoes. We often took 20 or 25 of our children in our school, and we took them up there. And we taught them how to hang their food so that the bears wouldn't get it in the night. And how you don't put any kind of food in your tent, because if you do, the bears will come and visit you in the night and tear your tent apart. And woe be unto you is a new verse. Woe be unto you if the bears tear your tent apart. And when we were in that place, up in the wilderness, at night it would get so dark. And we would have a campfire. We'd look into the campfire and we'd tell stories and talk about the Lord and sing together. But if you turned around, it was so black. It was so dark. If you didn't have a flashlight, you'd be stumbling and falling before you got 20 feet. And if you walked away from the fire out onto the rock that jutted out into the water and looked up into the sky, it was like salt and pepper just being shaken everywhere. And on several nights, we saw the aurora borealis, the northern lights. And they would cover the whole sky. And they would be like curtains flapping. And they looked like they were hundreds of miles long. And they'd be rippling around us in purples and greens and pink shades. And it would be so beautiful. And we would sit for hours under the aurora borealis, under the northern lights, and say, there's no God like our God. The heavens speak and proclaim. Night after night, they pour out their speech. No country in the world is absent from the voice of the heavens, saying, "My Creator is great." And as an example, David gives us a little story about the sun. Halfway through verse 4, it says, "In the heavens, he pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion, his big tent, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. The sun comes. It rises at one end of the heavens, makes its circuit to the other, and nothing is hidden from its heat." He's getting poetic. He's telling you, everywhere you look, you can see the glory of God, the handiwork of God. It's yelling at you. It's speaking so loudly. Just think of the sun. Every morning it comes up. It takes its circuit. God has put a tent over it, and everyone can feel its heat. It comes forth like a bridegroom. We just saw a bridegroom. Ian, the sun's coming forth like Ian, the bridegroom. Happy and proud and ready for a new day of celebration with his head held high. In the glory of the Lord, the sun comes forth like that. And it runs a race like a champion. You can't stop it. So the heavens have learned how to speak. And then the Lord says about his word and how he speaks. His word speaks to us. It starts in verse 7. There's several words that refer to the word of the Lord. The law of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord, the precepts of the Lord, the commands of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, the ordinances of the Lord. And they're more precious than gold. So we read in verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light and revelation to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, more than much gold. They are sweeter than honey, the honey from the honeycomb. By your word, your precepts, your statutes, your servant is warned. And in keeping of those precepts and statutes, there is great reward. So he gives us a dossier. He gives us an explanation of the power of the scriptures and the word of God. And it tells us all the things that come as blessings because of the word of the Lord. He tells us that it's perfect and that it brings a revival to our soul. If you're worn out, he says, the word of God, speak the word of God, it will revive you. If you're weary and tired and you can't carry on, speak the word of God and it will revive you. It's reviving the soul. Secondly, it says, if you speak the word of God, it will make the simple wise. I don't know if there's any simple people here. I'm not going to point any out. But if you feel you're a little bit on the simple side, and you'd like to be a whole lot wiser, the Lord has a solution for you. He says, speak the word of the Lord. The wisdom in God's word is way beyond anyone in this room. The smartest one among us is simple compared to the word of the Lord. And the word of the Lord makes the most simple among us into a wise person. It revives the soul and it makes wise the simple. The word of the Lord, it says in verse 8, gives joy to the heart. Have you spoke the word of the Lord and seen a change come to your attitude? Sometimes you have this cloud over you. It's like you should be in a cartoon character, you know, with a little cloud, sunny everywhere else, and you're walking along, and there's this little cloud that just, a little Winnie the Pooh cloud, and it just follows you around, and it keeps raining on your head. And you're like, Eeyore, woe is me. I don't know what I can do. Life is so bad. Start to speak the word of the Lord. Open up the scriptures. Do a Derek Prince. Find the verses that speak of the goodness and the love and the power of God. And start to speak them into the air. And they'll bring joy to your heart. They'll change the atmosphere. They'll dissipate the cloud that's hanging over your head. It's not conditional upon your circumstances. In fact, the worst your situation might be, the more you need this. Don't crawl into a hole when you're getting beat up. Get out on a mountaintop and start proclaiming the word of the Lord. Don't go into the night slowly or quietly, but be vigilant. Let the word of the Lord be spoken from you. And then, again in verse 8, it says it gives light. It gives light and revelation. The word of the Lord will bring light to you when you don't know the answer. All of a sudden, there it is. You'll find that God will personalize his word to you. I've discovered there's only two scriptures in the whole Bible. And one is the word of God written on page, and the other is the word of God that he's speaking to me right now. And when I find a verse that jumps out of the page and God speaks to me right now, I come alive. I have light and direction, a solution to the problem. I may not like it, but it will be the grace that I need to get me through it. So it revives the soul and it makes the simple wise and gives joy to the heart and gives light and revelation so we can find our way. Out of it comes the fear of God, which is pure and eternal. The ordinances are righteous altogether. And the scripture says at the end of that portion, in verse 11, David says, by them I am warned. By them is your servant warned. And in keeping of them, there is great reward. That's how we got our Sunday school title. Great Reward for Kids. Comes out of the Word of God. In keeping of them, there is great reward. So the heavens declare the glory of God. Day after day, the heavens pour forth speech to everybody in every nation about the glory of God. And the word of God speaks. It speaks so powerfully. The speaking of the word of God, the Bible, just releases wisdom and refreshing, revitalization and joy and direction and the fear of God and the blessings of the Lord. In it there are wisdom. In it there is great reward for you. So the first part of this scripture is about the heavens speaking. The heavens have learned to speak. The second part is about the scriptures. The scriptures have learned to speak the glory of God. And finally it comes down to this last portion, where David starts to reflect upon himself in verse 12. And he says, what person can discern his errors? Who among us can determine our failures? All of us have some blind spots. Other people can see our mistakes, but many times we cannot. And then he says, forgive my hidden faults, Lord. Because I make some mistakes, I don't mean to make them. I say something to somebody, and after I say it, the person is offended, and I didn't want to offend them. It wasn't in my heart But I didn't learn how to say it properly. It's a hidden fault. I didn't plan it to go that way. Oh, God, I make some decisions sometimes, and they're not the best decisions. I had good intentions and good motives, but it didn't work out. Oh, God, forgive me of my hidden faults. And then he says, but there's sometimes when I know very well what I should not do, and I fall to temptation and do at any rate. And he says, keep your servant also from willful sins. So some, you're just making mistakes and you didn't realize it. But he says, I don't want to try to pull one over on you, God. You know everything about me. So I'm going to admit that sometimes I have just chosen to do that which was not right. Forgive me of my willful sins. And then he says, if my hidden faults and my willful sins will not rule over me, then will I be blameless and innocent of great transgression. All of a sudden, he lifts his head and he gets the answer. And he says, Lord, this is it. This is it. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable unto you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Lord, the heavens speak. They pour out the declaration of your glory. The word is so powerful. The scriptures are an answer for every situation and every dynamic problem. The word speaks boldly of your glory. But here I am, Lord. I want to be like the heavens. I want to be the word of God written in flesh for everyone to see. Lord, help me to learn glory talk. Oh God, help me to learn to speak. When I was a child, my mom and dad taught me how to talk. It was an adventure. It was new. Once I learned how to speak, I could communicate with them. Tell them that I needed to go potty. Tell them that I needed a drink of water. Before that time, I could only cry because I couldn't speak. Sometimes they didn't understand what I wanted. So I had messy pants and a dry mouth. But now that I've learned to speak, I can communicate with my parents. And life is so much better, says the 2-year-old. But what about you today? Can you learn to activate glory talk? You say, well, I'm a quiet person. That's a disadvantage in this regard. And I suggest that you change. Because you only have this life. And you should put your very best foot forward. And you can't do it alone. You have to learn from the Lord and be his disciples. So start to speak the word of the Lord. Don't let any negative word come out of your mouth. Do you know the last time that a curse word, a swear word came out of this mouth? When I was 14. I have not said the real word for poo-poo since I was 14. Because God washed my mouth with a holy bar of soap. I know if I gossip or speak ill of somebody or malign somebody or slander somebody or repeat an evil report about somebody or complain about my sufferings and make a big deal, speaking often about my plight and my problems, I know that it will only hurt me. Maybe put me in a prison. Maybe lock me up so that I cannot find the light of day. I cannot go down that path. I fear that path. It's a path of darkness. So I'm very careful about guarding the words that I speak. When I see you, if there's any little thing about you, you might be messed up 95%, but if there's a 5% in your life that's pretty good, I'm going to try to find it and comment about that. I'm going to try to encourage you and honor that thing that's still shining among all the dust in your life. You're responsible for your thoughts and your words. If your meditations of your heart are not pure and godly and God-focused, if they're not glory thoughts, it'll be very hard for you to be consistent with glory words and glory talk. But if the meditations of your heart are pure unto God, and you're always talking and whispering with Him, when the moment falls upon you like an avalanche because of circumstances that have come around you, and all of a sudden you're in the middle of it and your mouth opens, glory words will come out. Glory talk will emerge. Sometimes the best test of what's inside of you comes when everything in your life falls apart and you have nothing to depend on. All your hopes have been shattered. You can't see an answer to your problem. What you speak at a time like that is very revealing. But this is the key. If the heavens, can you hear me? If the heavens can declare the glory of God, and the sun can come up like a troubadour in the morning and run a race and say, I'm doing this for my Maker. And if a written page can bring such wisdom and such joy and such life and such refreshment, then cannot I, who is made in the image of God, learn glory talk? I suggest that you can. You will not if you're focused on self-pity. You have no right. If you want to be a success, to warm up to pity. Cut your losses and praise God. That's my saying for the day. Cut your losses and praise God. And He'll turn things around. Because the path of the believer, the path of the just, is as the rising of the sun that gets brighter and brighter and brighter until the full brightness at noonday. That's God's intention for you. In this world, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, the Lord said, for I have overcome the world. You can't avoid the tribulation and some of the pain. But you can lick it. You can beat it. If the words of your mouth and the meditation of your heart become acceptable to God. If you don't know what to say because you're a quiet person and you haven't practiced your mouth enough, go looking in the Scriptures and find some very, very powerful, victorious, faith-releasing proclamations. And go out into the backyard with a drink of your favorite liquid and start to give praise unto God and read them out. Read them to the birds. Read them to the trees. Watch how God will change everything. So I encourage you today, with everything I know how, to activate your glory talk and be an overcomer. Let's pray. Please stand. Some of you may need to come forward to pray and to be prayed for. In a little moment or two, we will invite you to come forward and to be with the prayer ministry team. And they will pray for you. But people can pray for you all day. And if you don't change your behavior, you will not walk in step and cooperation with the power of those prayers. Prayer released on you and over you is very important. It gives you an edge to go forward. But you must go forward. And the first place is your thoughts. When a bad thought comes into my head, I say, you get out of there, you bad thought. You're not supposed to be there. I have the mind of Christ. What in the world are you doing there? And then I guard my lips. I confess I am not very perfect at this. But it is my goal that my words would be acceptable unto him. Now hold your hands out. Let's dedicate ourselves to the Lord. It's always good to do this. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for saving me. Today I rededicate myself to you. Wash my mind and my thoughts that they may be wholly thine. Wash my mouth so that I might speak words of life. I give you my mouth, Lord, and I give you my mind. I give you my soul. Lord, I ask now for your blessings. Bring this to my remembrance often, that I might boldly speak the glorious words of God and bring life to the atmosphere and to those I meet. I receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's have the prayer and ministry team come on up to the front, please. And I'm just going to pray over you now and speak the blessing of God and dismiss you. And if you would like prayer, please come forward. Put your hand on your chest. Just put on your chest. And I speak the blessing of the Lord over your life. The power of the Holy Spirit to rest upon you, for the Holy Spirit to be your great teacher this day and this week, and for you to walk in his ways and know his health in your body and in your soul and in your mind, that you might see open doors and open heavens. I speak the blessing of the Lord over your life, over your children, and over your family. Lord, we ask for special wisdom and blessings over the United States of America. We ask that you would give our president wisdom at this time when it's hard to know what to do. Lord, we pray for the people in Syria, that you would watch over them and call them to yourself. Lord, especially the children who are there. Lord, would you protect them supernaturally and bring them to the saving knowledge of Jesus. Lord, we lift up Israel to you today. We speak blessing and protection and the purposes of God upon that land. And we speak the release of your revival power into the land of Israel. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. We love you and we love your people. We pray this and go our way rejoicing in Jesus' name. Amen. And God bless you.